I hope you are enjoying this reading of the Denari novel, The Dead Letter. Please tell a family member or friend about the presentation of this audiobook. For those of you just joining us, if you wish to catch up, simply go back to episode Extra 2.0 and start from the beginning. You'll be caught up in no time. Welcome back to the History of North America Extra. I'm Mark Vinette. The Dead Letter, Chapter 30. Young actors, dressed in their everyday clothes, entered the auditorium from the vestibule side and mounted the wide thrust stage and began rehearsing. A workshop was suddenly underway. This made it difficult for Dr. Neville and her two guests to continue their conversation. She signaled a side door with a nod of her head, then led them to one of the many backstage dressing rooms. The doctor stood, Julia sat, and Wade leaned against the door after having closed it behind him. In the seconds it took them to resume their conversation, Wade noted appreciatively the soundproof nature of the compact space.
"A dead letter is a note, message, document, or letter that was never sent, undelivered, never received by the addressee. An item of mail that cannot be delivered or was not conveyed to its intended recipient."
Wade shook his head. "What are you saying, doctor?"
"What I know," she corrected herself, "what I have heard is that a letter composed by the Queen, intended for someone, was never delivered and remained with the sovereign upon her death. Kate Arden, judging this letter to be of some importance, attached it to the burial gown and whisked both items beyond the reach of the monarch's courtiers after her demise."
The woman looked at Wade, then Julia, waiting for one of them to react. They didn't. She continued,
"After some time, a dead letter is usually misplaced, lost, damaged, or destroyed. But not according to this story. My version of the gown legend has a letter, penned in Queen Elizabeth's own hand, sewn into the dress for protection, spirited away to safety, eventually ending up in Stratford, and still in existence to this day."
For a second time, the doctor stopped and eyed her guests. This time, Julia spoke.
"What does the letter say? What is it about? Who was the Queen writing to?"
"Yet again, my dear, all good, basic, and obvious questions, for which the answers are unknown."
Julia once more could see Wade thinking. This time, she could actually see his deep thought process revealed in the lines on his corrugated forehead.
"Unfortunately," the doctor concluded, "that's all I know and can add."
She smiled a smile of measured calm and wisdom, adding,
"And it goes without saying that this, in my opinion, is most likely a tall tale, a fascinating fable, and nothing more."
Wade had repeatedly heard this reaction and analysis for days now. He was intrigued by the continually growing nature of this story, the ever-expanding legend. Was there any truth behind these stories? And if so, had it suffered from the Pinocchio effect? Something in his gut, deep down, told him that it was not a lie. He felt it was true, and he was convinced the answers lay with the bard. As both women gazed upon him, waiting for a reaction, he thought of another woman, a female that could help him with his next move, a girl that knew her stuff. Denari was teeming with smart, competent professionals of the opposite sex, and Wade knew it was high time to contact one of them. His favorite Fraulein, Tristan Valkyrie.
Check out the free access to this novel's accompanying visuals, including maps, charts, timelines, photos, illustrations, and diagrams at patreon.com/markvinette.
The Historical Jesus Podcast is the sweeping saga of the life and times of Galilean Jesus of Nazareth, as well as the faith, religion, and church founded to honor and disseminate his acts and teachings. Join me, Mark Vinette, on this fascinating journey through time, exploring the many great works of Christian theology, literature, architecture, music, and art inspired by the words and deeds of Jesus Christ.